Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Alive Network. This is Stories from the Bible with your host storyteller, Michelle L. Perry. Let's begin our time in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you for this awesome, beautiful, wonderful day. You allowed us to wake up and that means you have a purpose and a plan for us. So as we spend our time together in fellowship, let us dig out these nuggets in your word and let us hold them close to our heart. Let it come alive for us so that we understand what your purpose and your plan is for us. We don't want to be separated from you. We want to be together with you in fellowship, in friendship, loving you. Trying to love you like you love us. Your love is all-encompassing, and it breaks the chains of bondage. It breaks those mindsets that we have that says that we're insignificant. None of us are insignificant to you. So I thank you for this word. Thank you. I can humbly come, Lord, and let you use me for your glory. Bless everyone listening and everyone in their sphere of influence. In Jesus' name. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. And I always say that I'd never get a tattoo, but if I did, it would be the Bible, and above it, it would just say, read it. It's more than just an instruction manual. It's full of history, geography, poetry, wisdom, and more. Sure, you know, life was different back then when it was written in terms of technology. I mean, they didn't have electricity or running water. But the situations people faced back then are no different than the situations we face today. Have you ever felt like your dad favored your older sibling over you? So did Jacob. Time marches on, but we find ourselves having to make the same decisions that Moses, Samson, and Esther had to make. Time change, people come and go. It's a good thing that God never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8 states that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who could know humanity better than Jesus? I'm thankful that in his wisdom, he inspired men to write stories about war, love, and life that we find in the Bible. It shows us how ordinary people did extraordinary things. People just like us. God wants us to do extraordinary things. He wants to do extraordinary things in us. We just have to learn how to let him do it. That's why I love the story so much. If God can use a prostitute, he can use us. Hallelujah. From the young boy who braved a giant and popped him in between the eyes with a rock, to the man who pursued everything he ever wanted and found out that it was all for nothing. These stories show us that we all have something in common, that we are faulty human beings who need God's help. All of the stories in the Bible show how God helped people out of impossible situations that they got themselves stuck in. God doesn't stick us in those situations. We stick ourselves in there. And he's always right on top of having us learn a lesson out of it if we're willing to do that. King David was a man after God's own heart, yet he murdered a man on purpose to get a piece of tail. King Solomon was the wisest man alive, and yet he chased down all of his world's pleasure just because he could. God commissioned Moses to lead a whole nation of people on a road trip, even though he stuttered and he needed someone to help him make speeches to the people. He was insecure. Rahab was a prostitute, and yet she helped God's people escape from danger. People would bless one another in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three of history's greatest men, yet each of those men made decisions that set them against God's will for them. We all make mistakes, some not so bad, some that have repercussions for years and generations to come, but God. These stories are here to teach us what we need to know to navigate this life successfully, to have God glorified in us. And they aren't just stories. They're examples. Every time I read a story in the Bible, I'm struck at how people can be from all these different backgrounds and still have the same problems I do. I'm almost always able to identify with the stories that I read. In some way, that stuff applies to me. There were little people who went on to do great things. Now, I don't mean little as in insignificant. There are no insignificant people in God's kingdom because God put us all down here with a purpose to fulfill. However, we tend to hear about the prominent people. That's what always gets preached. You know, King David and Deborah, who was a woman and a judge, and Moses, who led millions of people. If you ask me, that's plain old intimidating to most of us to think that our purpose may be to lead millions of people. Gives me a lump in my throat just thinking about it. Not all of us are meant to lead millions of people. The word says that some of us are leader over hundreds or 50. Some of us aren't called to pastor churches or fly all over the world preaching the gospel or write books in 12 different languages. Some of us are. Whatever our task is on this earth, we have to be willing to hear and heed the call. God makes us able. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. It's not a matter of if God is calling you out of the ordinary to do something extraordinary. It's a matter of when are you going to pay attention and clean the wax out of your ears so you can hear the call on your life. We are all called to do something. We're not just saved to sit. Salvation involves action. The word says that we are to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Walking doesn't involve standing still. When we have tasted the goodness of God, it changes us from the inside out, and it makes us want to put our faith into action so that we can show others how good God is. Faith without works is dead. Amen? If you really love and appreciate Him, you won't be able to sit still very long. I tell you what, we are all to share the good news with someone. That someone might be your coworker, that someone might be your neighbor next door, that someone might be that girl you see every time you go to the supermarket who looks like she could use a friend. What I'm saying is there's no job too big or too small. God created us all to fit like pieces of a puzzle. And when you fit all those pieces together, you get a beautiful picture. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body through one, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So even though the body's not made up of one part, it's made up of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not stop being a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And just because your walk and your anointing and what you're tasked to do doesn't look like somebody else's, it doesn't make you any less significant. It doesn't make you any different. You have a part to play. No matter what our part is, we all go through this life basically with the same purpose, to get ready for heaven, hallelujah, and to take as many people to heaven with us as possible while we're here, hallelujah. Seems simple enough, doesn't it? That job consists of having a rock-solid relationship with our Father, His Son, and His Holy Spirit. Following Christ is the only way we'll get anywhere in this life and open the door to the next. That job requires that we stay prayerful, read the Word, and allow God's Spirit to work out those kinks in us so that we can be salt and light in the earth. We all have personality flaws, and God is willing and able. He can and He will get that out of us so that we can shine even brighter. Paul, he was one of the characters we hear about the most. He says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 19 that even though I'm free and not a slave to any man, I make myself a servant unto all so that I can bring them to Christ. That means that when he was in Japan, he would eat sushi. When he's in the hood, he'd talk slang. He'd find something in common with people to make them feel comfortable so he could win them over. Makes sense, doesn't it? We all have things that are common to man, and one of those things is sin, and we can identify with sin. I mean, we've been brought out of it. That brings us to one of the shortest chapters in the Bible and one of the least known and talked about characters in the Bible. If you have your Bible with you, turn to the book of Philemon. This chapter paints a picture of us before and after Christ. Verse 1, this is a letter from Paul in prison for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus and from Timothy. Now, whoever this letter is about must have been important to Paul in order for him to send a letter from prison. It is written to Philemon, our much-loved co-worker, and to our sister Appia, and to Archippus, a fellow soldier of the cross. I am also writing to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing that you're trusting the Lord Jesus and you love all of God's people. You are generous because of your faith, and I am praying that you will really put your generosity to work. For in doing so, you will come to an understanding of all good things we can do for Christ. I myself have gained much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because your kindness has so often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Do you smell butter? I do. Where's the popcorn? It's about to get good. He's buttering them up right now. Here we go. That is why I boldly ask a favor of you. Did you see it coming? I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do, but because of our love, I prefer just to ask you. So take this as a request from your friend Paul, an old man, now in prison for the sake of Jesus Christ. My plea is that you show kindness to Onesimus. I think of him as my own son because he became a believer as a result of my ministry here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much of use to you in the past, but now he's very useful to the both of us. So who is Onesimus? There isn't a whole bunch said about him in the Word, but from what we're able to gather, he was Philemon's slave. The slave stole something from his master and then took off, ran away. His travels brought him to Rome, where he came into contact with Paul. And of course, Paul did what he does, which is bring people to Christ. Onesimus didn't know that he had a divine appointment with the Lord until he ran smack into Paul. Now, on that day, slaves were killed for lesser offenses than the one Onesimus committed. But as always, God's mercy is means that we don't get the punishment we truly deserve. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3 and 22 says we are all slaves to sin. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, for setting us free. We were all like Nicodemus was. We deserve to die for our offenses. But Jesus wrote a letter to his Father asking for a pardon, written in his own precious blood. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to say in his letter, I really wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I didn't want you to help because you were forced to do it, but because you wanted to do it. Perhaps you can think of it this way. Onesimus ran away for a little while so you could have him back forever. He's no longer just a slave. He is now our beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a slave and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, give him the same welcome you would give me if I were coming. And if he has harmed you in any way or stolen anything from you, charge me for it. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Onesimus must have been a nervous wreck waiting to go back to his master's house. He stole something from him. He ran away. He got caught. He had to go back and rectify what he did. He was hoping he would be well-received. We don't have to worry about that, because when we go to our master's house, we will be well-received, not just as a slave, but as a friend of God. John 1 and 12 says, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Some versions say sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Back to the letter. It sounds like Paul is talking smack when he says, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. But there's no other way to say that. Think of your own salvation. Jesus told his Father, I know they harmed you, but let me pay the price for that. Charge it to my account. Now we're useful to him. We don't belong to ourselves. So when we were living without the Lord, we stole something from him, our own souls. Paul went to Onesimus and sent him back to his owner, the same way Jesus intercepted us and sent us back to our owner, the Lord. We were sent back with a pardon, and now we're useful. Onesimus ended up in prison for his theft, the same way we end up trapped in the prison of our sins until we run into Jesus. And he saved us and set us free. Think about that. Trapped in the prison of cigarettes or bad relationships or just stinking thinking where you wake up every day and this is not going to be a good day, where you don't even look forward to getting out of bed because every worry and care is on your head. From yesterday, from tomorrow, stuff that we haven't even encountered yet we worry about. It's a sin to worry, because when we trust God, we know that the only thing we have to worry about is today. Tomorrow has its own problems, but God's going to bring us through our problems today and our problems tomorrow, and he's going to heal the problems of the past. We get sent to him. Jesus intercepts us, and he pardons us, and he sends us back to our Father. Hallelujah. So all the thieving we did when we stole our ideas and our identities from God, we got pardoned, and we got sent back to God. I love these stories in the Bible. I mean, besides the mention of Onesimus' name, you really don't even hear much about him. But you hear all that you need to know to be able to identify with him. There's the facts. He was a slave. He stole something. He ran away. He ran into salvation. And everything that he had taken was paid for. God paid the price for him the same way that he does for us. And we're not more important than this man who was a slave. And we're not less important than this man who was a slave. We all go on to do great exploits for the kingdom. Whether that's sewing buttons for somebody or helping somebody grocery shop or just lending an ear, just opening our arms to hold somebody when they're grieving. There's so many times when we can do more than what we do, and we're afraid to because we feel like we're unequipped. We feel like we don't have what it takes or that somebody else is better at it than us. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And when you feel that prompt in your spirit to help that person in front of you, who may be a total stranger, we have to realize that he's equipping us for it. And we don't have to practice doing God's will. We just need to be open and ready to receive it and to do it. God did not save us just to sit. He didn't call us to salvation so we can stay where we are. We are God's power. He places his power in us for us to go out. And the word says that the gospel must be preached to every creature on earth. If we just start in our communities, if we just start with the people around us, if all of us do that, the gospel will get preached to every living creature, every living person in the most far-flung nations of the earth, to the places that don't even have TV. I don't know if you remember that shampoo commercial with the one girl, and she tells a friend, and then that friend tells a friend, and then the screen starts filling up with all these people. That's just how it works. And even if you're only reaching one, that one is reaching one, and that one is reaching one, and it's multiplied. There's an exponential explosion in the spirit to carry his word to every person, so that everyone gets an opportunity to see God and to meet God. And I know that it's great that he blesses us, and I feel spoiled sometimes. And it's in those times that I need to go out and make sure that I'm telling somebody else how good God is. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to go to seminary. All you have to be is blessed to let other people know how good God is. They get to see that. They get to witness that in your life. So you once were a slave to sin. We were a slave to sin, and now we're a slave to righteousness. And if you appreciate that at all, get up out of your seat. Be ready for the day. Be ready for the challenge. To tell somebody else about your faith, to tell somebody else about how God drew you out of darkness and into the light. Hallelujah. Be ready in and out of season. You may be on your way to get your tire changed, and you stop and have a conversation with somebody, and you get that prompting in your spirit, and you can't mistake it for anything else, and that's not the devil telling you to preach, to witness to someone else about how good God is. So you don't have to pray about it. You can, but you don't have to. He's already given you the command. Talk to them about me. Tell them about me. I took a bag of candy one time to a building, and it had little scriptures on it, and I just opened up the bag of candy, and I shared it with people. And a woman walked up to me later and she said, because they have scriptures in them, this word was just for me. She wasn't even saved. She was searching and seeking an answer from God. And she felt like he answered her. That's the path to salvation. God drawing us out. Just the same way he spoke to us through somebody else, he's speaking to them through you. So don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about how you'll be received. Just be a slave to righteousness. Let that righteousness work in you, and it will come out. The word says, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. He'll tell you what to say. They'll see the sparkle in your eye. They'll know that they're in the midst of a divine appointment. They'll know. And they may not get saved on the spot. I read somewhere that a person has to hear the gospel like 7 times before they turn their hearts. And you can be number 1, or you can be number 4, or you can be number 7. But no matter which number you are, stand up and be counted. Raise your hand. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And while he may not have you on a jet plane flying all over the earth and standing up there with a mic in your hand, preaching to millions of people, you always have a mic in your hand when you have that audience of 1, when you have that audience of 20, when you have that audience of 1,600, it doesn't matter. But the word says that he'll leave the 99 sheep and go chase down that one who's lost. That's us too, to go chase down that lost one, to offer them the hope of salvation. That's the only hope for everything that we have in the world, is Jesus. Man is faulty and will fail you. Science is a construct of people. The scientist is God, so we have to get to God in everything that we do. If this life is all we have and our efforts are all we have, then the rewards for everything that in this life is all we have that we bring upon our own selves. So I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and true, and that our reward isn't just here on this earth, and it isn't by our own effort, but by your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That you give us more than we can even dream up, that you're the giver of all good gifts. We want our gifts, Lord. We're ready to receive our gifts. And when we get our gifts and unwrap them and open up that awesomeness, we want to share. We want to take every gift we have, Lord, and use it for your glory. Give us the power. Give us the unction. Give us the strength. Give us the want to line up with our will do. We want to be in your will and not out of it. Give us the wisdom. We love you, Lord, with everything in us, and we don't even understand how awesome and marvelous and powerful and beautiful and wonderful you are. Thank you for even just a glimpse, Lord God, into your kingdom, into your glory, into your righteousness and your holiness. We want to be a holy people, a peculiar people, set apart to be used by you. Utilize us. You are the potter, and we are the clay. Mold us and shape us this day to bring more clay to you. In Jesus' name. This is Michelle L. Perry signing off from the Spirit Alive Network. Until next week, be ye transformed.